You're listening to me, your lovable host, L. Rod, here on The Rod Eccles Show.
You want to know what time it is? It's time to bring the rain.
Zinc Media. Feel the power of knowledge.
Coming to you live from the Bunker Eye Studio, located somewhere within the great granite state of New Hampshire, where the sun just decided to peek out. Good thing. Here it is on Wednesday, hump day, August number 15 in the year of our Lord 2015. As far as the weather is, well, I can only say is that Saturday and Sunday looks promising. And the reason why I say promising is because, you know, the weather service this year has been worse than it's probably been since before Doppler radar was invented. I mean, for weather use. I mean, they've been so off so often. I'm not even sure that anybody's even paying attention to the weatherman anymore. Not around here. They just walk outside, look up at the sky, and say, "Yeah, okay, it's going to be what it's going to be." Actually, I don't know why people worry so much about the weather anyway, because we can't do a damn thing about it. It's going to do what it's going to do. Like the good old, what is it, the redneck weather monitor? It's a piece of wood with a string hanging on it, you know, a piece of rope. If the rope is moving, it's windy. If the rope is wet, it's raining. that kind of thing. That's about as accurate as the weather service has been over the past few months around here. So, chance of rain, we end up with a thunderstorm with a downpour that washes out stuff. That's not a chance of rain, I guess. Well, maybe in their eyes it is. I don't know. I don't speak, you know, meteorological vernacular, so I don't know what they mean by what they say, stuff like that. I'm still confused by what's the difference between partly sunny and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Partly sunny, partly cloudy, partly this, partly that. I mean, I get what mostly is, but the whole partly thing, well, okay. You know, some intermittent clouds, and you barely see the sun. So I don't know exactly what they mean anymore. I mean, I know words have meaning, but I don't know what they mean. And this is part of the whole leftist, do not doubt me on this, folks. This is the whole leftist. Part of the whole leftist agenda is to change the meaning of words to confuse the hell out of you so you don't know what the hell they mean anymore. Yeah, I had an argument the other day with somebody talking about, well, white doesn't mean what it used to mean. Like, what the hell are you talking about? You know, white man still means white man. No, it doesn't mean the same thing anymore. Well, that's news to me. So, in other words, you guys have just decided to change the meaning of a word and didn't tell anybody. Now, I find it interesting. Now it is. These are basically leftist white supremacists, by the way, who came up with this stuff. Now if you're a white American, you're an Americaner, spelled with a K. Now, when I first saw that, I'm thinking, okay, so that's a bastardization of the word Afrikan or Afrikaner. And so I asked him, I said, this white supremacist, are you admitting now that white Europeans actually came out of Africa? Oh, hell no. Well, you just took over that name. You're using a K. So it's either you're using a K because it's out of Africa or using a K because it has to do with communists. Isn't that what we used to do with communists? You know, the pinko, you know, communist KK, all those K people? Or is it Afrikaner because you're a KKK member? Or is it all three? And it's most likely all three. And it's funny how they want to all of a sudden change them. And I'm not talking about colloquial vernacularisms, you know, like, hey, that's bad. And in order to know what a person's meaning in colloquialism, you have to understand the context of the conversation, because bad can be good. Right? But that's not what they're doing here. They're just actually trying to change the meaning of words. And now they're so brazen as to change the meaning of words and don't tell anybody. So when you try to come up with the real meaning of it, they'll try to tell you then that's not what it means anymore. I'm sorry, but yet that's still what it means. Which is why I'm big on knowing the real definition of words, because it's language is important, folks. Words are important. And when you get a hold of somebody's language and you can screw it up that way, it helps you to control a population. Because it all started with Bill Clinton, by the way. It depends on what the definition of is. I didn't have sexual relations. Well, last time I checked, oral sex was still sex. I know, but not according to Bill. By the way, there seems to be something with Bill Clinton out of, I've confirmed a little bit of this. Bill Clinton has been accused of inappropriate sexual relations or contact with a boy back in the 90s. And evidently there was this has been reported to the Justice Department and the FBI. And there was a big government DOJ plane down in Arkansas the other day, and these people were pouring all over the Clinton Foundation and Library, and I guess they pulled out there are people on the ground that are saying, yeah, they saw people coming out of there with boxes. Now, usually boxes means documents or copies of documents. So I, at this particular point, I cannot tell you what the hell is going on. Well, knowing the Clintons, it could be anything. It may not have anything to do with you know, diddling a child in the White House, but or anywhere else. And it could have everything to do with Hillary Clinton, you know, and her emails. With the Clintons, you never know. So it's kind of, you see these people. I don't know. It might be the last hurrah to try to cover up all the evil deeds that these people have done. So we just have to got to kind of wait and see attitude right now to see what is actually going on down there. But just thought I'd bring that to you. In any case, before we run out of time, let us bring on. You got it. That sound means it's time for Agent 0010 in the Intel Report. Good morning, Agent. How are you doing?
Good morning, Rod. How are you and all the listeners doing today?
Well, I am blessed and highly favored. If not a little bit frustrated with some people, but other than that, yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, grooviness. Well, today I'm going to cover a few things. First thing I'm going to cover is this spat between China and Australia and what China did and the reasons why China feels that they had every right to do it. So this will clear up a few things. And yes, China and Australia, believe it or not. But I'm also going to cover what two separate former CIA operatives have done and why it's not far-fetched that former Mayor Rudy Giuliani might be correct in the fact that Brennan is the lead or the organizer of this whole anti-Trump thing. And then at the end, of course, we're going to go through my dumbass of the week and I'm also going to apologize and explain to the listeners what I have done for the last 2 weeks and why I did it. Now, let's get right to it. Okay. It seems that China was interfering in Australian elections. Now, they weren't just trying to interfere in the Australian elections. They were trying to interfere in Australian politics all around. And these attempts by China have been going on for a little over a decade.
Well, that sounds
10 years. Yeah, well, this is well before, you know, Trump came into play. So, no, Trump is not a puppet of the freaking Chinese either. So let's get that out of the way before all of a sudden somebody's, Trump did it again. No, he didn't. The investigation into this started in 2016 by the Australians using all their intelligence resources. And then they came up with answers. In 2017, Prime Minister Turnbull decided to toughen laws on espionage and foreign interference. Now, part of the Chinese plan was to target both parties. Sounds familiar.
Mm-hmm.
Gain access, in other words, use spies. Sounds familiar. And influence policy. Sounds familiar yet again. But
is this
here's
a coordinated
the reason
attempt?
Why the Chinese were doing it.
Is this a coordination?
I don't know if it's coordinated.
Russians and Chinese? They've been getting buddy-buddy.
I don't know if it's a coordinated. China said, hey, Russia, you got any ideas? I think that's what really happened.
Hmm.
So here's the reason why it all happened. There's hundreds of thousands of miles of underwater cables running between Australia and across, you know, in front of Australia underwater and from that part of Asia. So, you know, some of this stuff runs to Australia, some of this stuff runs past Australia. But the thing is that Australia was also internationally elected to protect that area of underwater cables, or to protect them in the South China Sea. Well, China, who loves to spy, they don't like the fact that Australia is involved in that. They want to be the keepers, which is basically like, giving the sinner the keys to the whorehouse. That would be stupid. And say, protect the whores. No, that's not going to happen. So China wants to basically conduct espionage using these underwater cables because a lot of message trafficking goes through. You know, they can deal with the satellite concept, but they want to cover all their bases. And Australia has been blocking them left and right. So China is trying to disrupt Australia's politics. So that way, through the entire melee, and when somebody they feel is more sympathetic to China, then they can actually get involved in, you know, tapping into those underwater cables. That's all it has to do with espionage. China wants all around coverage of their espionage program. And Australia is blocking them big time.
Now, I know that this comes as a surprise to a lot of people in this day and age of satellites that we still have and use and are still laying underwater cable like that.
Here's what people don't seem to understand, okay? A signal can be intercepted. A satellite signal can be easily intercepted if you have the right equipment. Now, an underwater cable, that's a direct line from point A to point B. And in order to get access to any traffic that's going on between point A and point B, you either have to be at point A or at point B or tap the line. That is what China wants to do. Like I said, they want their espionage system, their spy system, to be so 100% in control of everything going on in and out of Asia that, you know, they want to tap into those lines. Because that's communications between Taiwan, Japan, South Korea, even at some point, North Korea.
You know, I have mentioned this many times before about China, because people always say, well, Rod, well, China doesn't want to rule the world. I said, you're right. No, China doesn't want to rule the world. They just want to rule all of Asia. That has always been Mao Zedong's goal. And by the way, this is also President Xi's goal. And Xi has now just been given Mao Zedong-like powers. And as a matter of fact, his posters and pictures are now going up all over China, much like they used to do with Mao. Just so people know this.
Exactly. I mean, China wants to rule all of Asia, but here's what I believe is China's main goal, their main objective, is to be impervious and to be the economic ruler of the planet. Because money, in China's eyes, money is everything. In China's honest opinion, to attack the West is to control their one weakness, and that is the economy. Because if people are poor and hungry, there's revolt. If people are working and have money and can live comfortably, there is peace. China would be able to actually dictate where there's going to be war, where there's going to be revolution, by simply controlling a country's economy. That's all they have to do, which is not easy. You know, I could say, yeah, that's all they have to do. It's not an easy thing to do. But other countries have come dangerously close, very close. Individual human beings have come dangerously close. And one of those individuals' name is George Soros. And I would not be surprised if they're learning from Soros. I mean, after all, he did ruin England's economy. Single-handedly ruined England's economy.
He is
so
under
China
indictment.
Saw that.
Yeah, he's under indictment.
Yes, he is.
And Hungary's trying to get an international arrest warrant for him.
Hungary, England, France, but nobody will touch him because they know he's too powerful economically. Hungary, even Russia. But Hungary, on the other hand, well, they're not controlled by him, but they want him. So if they saw George Soros can do it, an entire nation with its resources behind it can also do it. Now, another thing I want to cover, Rudy Giuliani dropped a bomb on Hannity, and he says that, in his honest opinion, that John Brennan is the one that's actually that organized and is pushing the entire Trump dossier and this anti-Trump movement within the intelligence agencies. Now, a lot of people would say, oh, yeah, he's the bad guy in the CIA. Well, I've got news for you, okay, ladies and gentlemen. Here's a fact, okay? And that fact is that John Brennan is not the only former CIA individual that's decided to go rogue. Many former CIA, now, mind you, the vast majority of the CIA are hardworking, you know, motivated, driven individuals that want to protect the country, that they want to protect the American way of life, that they want to protect the American economy, the American system, the American republic. But then you've got these other ones that they use the CIA as a training ground, as a school, if you might. And these individuals, they're just basically guns for hire with, now this is going back to John Brennan, with top secret clearances, such as Mr. Brennan. Because when you leave the agencies, you keep your clearance. It's not put in hibernation. No, it's still an act of clearance. So these people have resources to do what they want or what they need in order to make a small fortune for themselves. And some of these people can go rogue. Now, you want two examples? I can easily give you two examples that have recently come up. Now, one of them is in Montenegro. The other one, believe it or not, was for Qatar, so Qatar can get the World Cup. Yeah, ex-CIA working against FIFA of all things. And it really made me angry because I'm a huge World Cup fan. I'm a huge soccer fan. Now, in Montenegro, which is a very young country and just petitioned NATO to join NATO, they had an attempted coup. Now, the name of the organization was the Democratic Front. Why in the name of God would every time, well, they were very sympathetic to socialism and to Russia. Well, why is it that every single time somebody or some organization is sympathetic to socialism and to Russia, they put democratic in the name? Yeah. I can't get that. I just don't understand that.
DDR, old Soviet Union, Democratic German, I mean, German Republic.
Can somebody please toss a dictionary at their heads and maybe they'll learn the definition of democratic? And
they changed
socialism
the meaning of
is
Democrat.
Not.
That, see, there they go. They changed the meaning of the word democratic.
Now, what happened was that the Democratic Front, very pro-Russia, very pro-socialism, well, they were organizing. And they even hired a sniper, a hired killer, a long-range sniper, to kill the prime minister of Montenegro. Yes. But they also hired somebody else. They hired a Mr. Joseph Assad. Now, Joseph Assad was born in Egypt. He's an American born in Egypt, came to the United States, started working for the CIA in the 1990s as counterterrorism. He was a counterterrorism expert at the CIA. Left the agency, formed his own company, and was hired by the Democratic Front to basically gain access and spy on the Montenegro, what you might call, you know, either intelligence or Montenegro authorities, their political wings. So he gained access. But the problem is that the authorities didn't trust Mr. Assad. So they arrested everybody. They confessed to an attempt, because what they wanted to do was kill the prime minister, storm the parliament, create a coup, and instill socialism by killing everybody in the parliament. So this would have been mass murder. This would have been a mass murder on a political front that would have been unprecedented. Something even Saddam Hussein didn't manage to pull off when he took over the Iraqi parliament and started having people escorted out one at a time, people that were never seen again. This would have been earth-shattering on a level that nobody would have ever seen. And then they wanted to instill socialism into the country during the elections. So the plot failed. Mr. Assad, Joseph Assad, is now on the run. He's not stupid. He has documents. He has money. They will not find him. And if they do, it's because it's going to be a worldwide manhunt for this individual, which I doubt very much that Montenegro has the resources to do. So Mr. Assad got away. But everybody involved in the Democratic Front, 20 people admitted, yeah, that was the idea. They never caught the sniper, because the sniper never came into the country to do the job, because it was too soon when they caught these guys. He was supposed to come in just before, a couple of days before the attempted coup, and then leave. Well, they didn't catch the sniper, but they do have his name. And he's also a very well-known within the black market or the underworld, a very known, well-known, dependable hired killer. He is an assassin. This is crap that you can see in the movies. Well, yeah. This is a reality. This actually happened.
Yeah, this is very well. That sounds what they were planning. It sounds like what we actually had on television as a miniseries back in the 80s called America with a K. Had John Yurik in it. And the Russians, or not the Russians, the Soviets came in and just machine gunned down everybody in a joint session of Congress, and just machine gunned everybody down, and then split up our country. Wow, that's some really serious stuff right there. But we're at the point of a break, so let's take a break right now. When we come back, we'll get to the second half of this morning's report. So don't go anywhere, folks.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-595-2614 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 595-2614 to take your call now. Call 800-595-2614. That's 800-595-2614. Again, 800-595-2614.
We've all heard of male enhancement, but now there's an expert on true male enhancement in the areas that really count. In Herb Ellis's book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, you'll find answers to questions like, why doesn't she want to have sex? A quick start, quick results workout guide. Plus, what you can do as a side hustle to make money now. With all the great tips in this book, every man can benefit. Get the book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, on Amazon.com.
It started with a knock, but it wouldn't end there. What happens in the story next, many wouldn't understand, and most wouldn't believe. 5+2=Perfection by Samuel Rosette Jr. is a must-read. The scriptures within are reminders of the ancient past, and yet intriguingly infuses with texts which stand on the edge of the stage of relevancy. Available online at Westbow Press, Amazon, Books A Million, Barnes & Noble, and SamuelRosetteJr.com.
This holiday season, help Soldiers for Stockings improve the morale and welfare of members of our armed forces deployed overseas. Now through November 20th, there is so much work to be done, and you can help in many ways. Download the stocking pattern from stockingsforsoldiers.org and start sewing today. Volunteer to help decorate and assemble stockings. Donate Christmas candies, snacks, nuts, chips, drink mixes, DVDs, books, magazines, lip balm, toiletries, and other items needed to fill the stockings. Or help make packets of snowman soup, hot chocolate, to send along with the stockings. For more information, patterns, and a list of items needed, visit stockingsforsoldiers.org. This holiday season, help send our troops a touch of home. For many, it's all they will receive. All stockings need to be completed by November 20th. So get started today at stockingsforsoldiers.org. That's stockingsforsoldiers.org. Stockings for Soldiers, sending stockings filled with joy to our soldiers in harm's way for the 9th consecutive year.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-471-9742. That's 800-471-9742. Again, 800-471-9742.
Do you need a car? Been shopping only to be turned down because of bad credit, low credit, no credit, bankruptcy, or divorce? Guess what? Today's your lucky day, because now you can buy a car, truck, or SUV, just about any vehicle. It's true. Bad credit? Doesn't matter. No credit? Doesn't matter. Bankruptcy or divorce? It just doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, your job is your ticket to your new vehicle. We're Auto Credit Express, and we've helped thousands of people just like you. Antonio H. told us, great company, got me connected, and the day I went in, I drove off in the car I wanted. 100% worth your time. Need a car? Get started now and drive off as early as today. Just go to 7ignoremyscore.com right now. That's www.7ignoremyscore.com. Auto financing the easy way. 7ignoremyscore.com. Get started today. Auto financing the easy way.
Guitar right there. I almost said Cuban cigar, but I don't think you can play a cigar. At least I haven't heard anybody play one. But you can play a guitar, as they would say down south or out west. Anyway, we are back and we're about to continue with our wonderful Intel report. And we just had a bomb dropped on us last segment. That dealt with Montenegro, of all places. And it is... What people will do in order to rule over other people is absolutely amazing. I mean, think about this, folks. This all has to do with just having the power to tell you how to live your life. Does that make sense to anyone? I know most of us out there are not wired that way. We don't get it. We don't understand it. We'll fight tooth and nail against it because we're not wired that way. But there are people on this planet, and there are still evil people on this planet that are wired that way. And it's a never-ending battle. And this has been a problem of human civilizations from day one. There's always been somebody in this... You probably have a group of friends. You know, if you have a large group of friends, there's probably one individual in the group that always wants to make the decisions of what the group is going to do. That's where it starts, folks. It starts out small. And then some people, they get these grandiose ideas of how they can spread that little dictatorship to a larger mass of people because they... For some reason, they enjoy having that kind of power over you. And I'm pretty sure now there's probably going to be some arguments within some friendship groups. You can't tell us what to do anymore, man. But, you know, this is human condition. It's just the way it is. We all experience it on a personal level. I don't know, maybe it's even in your own family. You know, we've had overbearing fathers or overbearing mothers that want to, even when the kids become adults, still trying to tell their kids how to live their life. So it's just, it's out there. And there are some people that are just wired, for whatever reason, they're wired that way. And the rest of us, we don't like it because we're not wired that way. So if you don't like it, why the hell would you want to vote for somebody or put somebody in a position of power over you that's going to do that to you? And I find it amazing, especially from the leftist point of view. They want to live free and do whatever they want. But yet they run around electing people that tell them exactly how to live their life. I want to be free to live my life. And they elect somebody that tells them, no, you're going to live your life the way I tell you. Beyond me how that works. But people are willing to kill other people to get power. Unbelievable. But that is the world. It's a dangerous place, and it's going to continue to be dangerous. And if you think that that kind of stuff does not or cannot happen here in this country, might I remind people of a small, tiny little assassination that happened back in 1963? Just saying. Well, we're going to bring back Agent 0010. Good morning, Agent. This whole Montenegro thing is kind of sobering because there are plots like that are hatched all over the place all the time. And I got to tell you, I've already noted a lot of similarities between Donald Trump and John F. Kennedy. And it has me worried for the man's health. It really does. I mean, his very life.
Honestly. honestly, I always draw a comparison between Donald Trump and Theodore Roosevelt because they were two bombastic individuals that go on and on and on and on. Theodore Roosevelt, I mean, I told you the story. Some guy that used to work up in Colorado as a game warden, as a hunter, came into the White House because he was invited by the president. He went in. 2 hours later, he came back completely shaken, trembling, sweating, and they asked him, well, what happened in there? I went in there, introduced myself, and that's all I got to say. That's all that happened. That's all he was able to do. Theodore Roosevelt went on for 2 freaking hours nonstop and got the guy rattled. Kind of reminds me of Donald Trump. Sorry, folks. But there's one thing we need to remember. You say that it rattles you because of what happened in Montenegro, but the Montenegro authorities caught on to it. What's troubling is that a former CIA operative that still has a security clearance, has access to classified information, was involved in this attempted coup. That is what's troubling. This is why I believe that John Brennan could have been involved in the entire situation with that we're currently going through against the president of the United States. Because let's not forget another thing. There was a memo that was distributed by email at Stratfor. Now, if you don't know who Stratfor is one of the biggest and most trusted geopolitical analysis groups and contractors in the United States. And they're spelled Stratfor. They are top-notch when it comes to the contractors. And they released a memo it went from a person at Stratfor, and it went across. And the memo, and it's right in front of me right now, Brennan is behind the witch hunts of investigative journalists learning information from inside the Beltway sources. No, there is a specific tasker from the White House to go after anyone printing materials negative to the Obama agenda. And in parentheses, oh my. Even the FBI is shocked. The Wonder Boys must be in meltdown mode. This is from one of the most trusted contractors in Washington, D.C. and in the world, dropping this bomb on its employees or from one employee to another. So is it so far that he was involved in leading the way in taking down President Trump before he became President Trump and after he became President Trump? No, it's really not that far-fetched. It really is not. So these CIA operatives that continue having a security clearance, okay, you know what? Put their security clearances on like a suspended animation, on pause, so they can't use it. But if they come back to work for the government, okay, reinstate it. Done. You're not completely taking away their clearance. They still have a clearance. They just can't use it until they come back to work for the American government. Plain and simple. Now,
these people that no longer work for the government should not have any, they should lose all their clearances and they should have to go through the process all over again because who knows what they did in the private sector.
That's why keeping it on suspended animation, if they do an investigation, they find that they were fine in the private sector, okay, turn it back on. It's that easy. Okay, you did something bad in the private sector. Well, guess what? Now it's no longer suspended animation, but completely canceled. Done. That's all that has to be. That's by putting it on like a suspended animation or a temporary hold is the smart way of doing it. The smartest way of doing it. It makes everybody happy. And it can make everybody happy. Now, another situation of a former CIA operative using his clearance was in Qatar. It was 2010. FIFA had awarded the World Cup to Qatar for 2022. Now,
Let's try to bring this together. Was this at the time that FIFA, when FIFA was, you know, FIFA was always above board, there was no corruption, and they found a bunch of corruption at the top?
FIFA's always had corruption. What are you talking about?
I know, but you know.
They may not have had corruption in the first 10 years of their existence, but oh yeah, I mean, decades FIFA's had, you know, a great deal of corruption. But this happened just before the investigation started coming to fruition. So when FIFA awarded the World Cup for 2022 to Qatar, the entire planet said, "Say what? Excuse me? Where? Oh, we are not going to be playing in 110 degree temperatures. That is not going to happen." So Qatar turned around and said, no. You can play at night, and some of our stadiums are going to be indoors. Some of our newest stadiums will be indoors. So the planet was, you know, the entire soccer nation was like, okay, let's see how this works. Because I'm sorry. I mean, professional soccer players on a non-World Cup year, they only get 2 months out of the year off. That's it. That's all they get. So not only in those 10 months are they playing their regular schedule for their team, but they're also playing warm-up matches for their World Cup team. They're also playing for their country's championships. Now, their country's championships, those consists of Division A, B, C, and D. So it is an actual nation's championship.
Uh-huh.
Because not only are the top teams playing, but the second-tier teams, the third-tier teams, and the fourth-tier teams. These guys are playing anywhere between 4 to 5 games a week for 10 months. And then on a World Cup year, now those 2 months are out the window because now they're playing in the World Cup. So on World Cup years, they get no time off. So because of this, okay, the world was very upset because our guys, they're going to die out in the pitch. Well, come to find out, the way that Qatar had done this is, this is going to be funny, they turned around and decided to hire a public relations company, BLJ, and they're known as Brown, Lloyd, and Jones. And they also hired a team of ex-CIA operatives. Now, Brown, Lloyd, and Jones, or BLJ, worldwide, they turned around and started, you know, this whole media blitz on how great Qatar is. But the team of ex-CIA operatives, and to this day, we don't know how many there were, but there were definitely more than two. Well, they turned around and started creating files on individuals that were on the board of that country, of other countries, to get the World Cup. And in these files, every single one of them had incriminating evidence. So slowly but surely, teams, these nations were not giving their 100% effort. They weren't giving everything they could. They didn't back away because that would make their country upset, but they weren't giving 100%.
Now, what would be the motive? Now, Qatar doesn't need the money, actually. So what would be the motivation behind this?
Prestige. The Middle East has never been what you might consider a mecca for what I call football. Americans, they call it soccer. It's never been a mecca of that. They want to be a mecca. They want to be respected for their talents. Europe is the mecca of soccer/football. That is the mecca. Why? Take a look. Who won the World Cup?
This year was England, or France, yeah.
Who won the year before that? It's been a case where Europe is the dominating power in football/soccer. I mean, the Champions League winner, my team, Real Madrid, they're from Spain, a European country. Okay? If you walk up to somebody and you say, name the two greatest teams on the earth today that are professional football teams, I'm pretty sure that 7 out of 10, 8 out of 10 people are going to say Real Madrid and Barcelona. Okay, who are the two world's greatest soccer players today? Oh, well, that would be Cristiano Ronaldo and Lionel Messi. Okay, well, Messi's from Argentina, but he plays in Barcelona. Cristiano Ronaldo, he's from Portugal, European country, and played for Real Madrid. And now he broke my freaking heart, the son of a bitch, and now plays for Juventus in Italy, another European team. So a lot of countries in the Middle East, they want that prestige as well. They don't want to be just rich. They want to have that worldwide sports prestige.
Well, sports has always been.
One person who's helped bring that along.
You know, sports has always been at a center of political discourse. I mean, just what was the 1936 Olympics? What Hitler did with them, or tried to do? I can see that with getting all political with sports, but at the same time, there seems to be another game, an inside game with all of this, other than just the prestige. I mean, we're talking Qatar here, or Qatar, as people like to call it here. It's not even a small player on the world stage, other than for its oil. I mean, is that what they're really trying to get at here?
I think it is. I sincerely think that they're trying to become respected when it comes to sports. When they also want the money because with FIFA comes the tourists. With FIFA, not only comes the tourists, but it comes the tourists getting to check out a different country, getting to check out the country of Qatar, which means that they get a chance to actually build a tourism trade.
Now, is Qatar
they
in any
would
way
like a tourism trade.
Is Qatar in any way connected to any terrorist organization?
God, yes.
Okay. Well, there you go.
God, yes. Now, let's put it like this. One person who's helped bring the, what you might call the Middle East, but he's not from the Middle East. He's from North Africa. And that is Mohamed Salah. Mohamed Salah, he's Egypt's greatest soccer player. I mean, he plays for Liverpool professionally. He plays for Egypt on their national team. He got beaten badly, thank you, Jesus, by Real Madrid in the Champions League. And in fact, Sergio Ramos took him out of the game. I mean, he jacked up his leg. Thank you, Sergio. So I am so mean, but I don't care. So that is a case where a group of former CIA agents turned around using their security clearance, basically helped funnel FIFA to Qatar. They influenced it by having built up files against these other countries. So is it so far-fetched that Brennan is involved in taking down President Trump? Hell no. It is not that far-fetched. So let's face facts, ladies and gentlemen. Security clearance in the wrong hands is an exceedingly dangerous thing.
Yes, it is.
Exceedingly dangerous.
I got a question for you. Somebody's asking me to ask you this question. If a soldier has to redo an SF-86 every clearance cycle, why isn't it that other intelligence agencies or groups or people don't have to go through the same process? What's the difference?
Well, it's like the simple. Well, the difference is that let's take a look at J. Edgar Hoover. He was named FBI director for life. J. Edgar Hoover could decide when he wants to retire, if he wanted to retire. And that was a huge mistake. He didn't have to go through the clearance process either. These individuals are at such a high level within the intelligence organizations that they don't have to do that. Or so it's, you know, deemed that they don't have to do that. And not to mention the fact is they're the chiefs. They're the bosses. A lot of these guys, all you got to do is lie. Now, as far as the lower agents or the operatives, that they have to go through the SF-86 and they also have to go through the polygraph. Well, okay. Why do you think there's a good chance they left? If you didn't take the polygraph, and you left the agency before your SF-86 and your polygraph, well, guess what? Your clearance is still active. You're just not at the agency anymore.
Really?
But your clearance is still active. Yes. Yes. You just don't work at that agency anymore, so the agency doesn't have to conduct the polygraph or the SF-86, the questionnaire, or anything anymore. They don't have to do anything. But their clearance is still viable.
Huh.
That's why.
Well, that was now, a good question.
Now, what I want to do is explain and apologize to our listeners. For the last 2 weeks, I did not report on anything anywhere near what I reported on today. And I did that on purpose, ladies and gentlemen. I reported on something more along the lines that Rod Eccles would report on. But I did it on purpose. Why did I do it? I wanted to see if there was going to be any more interference or a system going haywire during the Intel report. And guess what? It didn't. It never happened. So if I'm not dropping bombs, everything's fine and safe. I drop bombs like I did today. Notice, nothing caught them by surprise. But previously, every time I would put on Twitter what I'm going to talk about, sure enough, it started happening. His system would be wiped away. The programs would be gone or uninstalled. His volume would just go crazy. He would lose complete and total communication. But this always happened on a Wednesday. So I decided that for 2 weeks, I am not going to report on anything big. And guess what? Nothing happened. Everything was fine. So I want to apologize. Oh, yeah, it's a huge coincidence. But I want to apologize to the listener for those 2 weeks not giving a report. But I couldn't say anything, and I wasn't about to because I wanted to test this out. And my theory was proven. Nothing happened for 2 weeks.
Good to know I'm a target.
Nothing went
now.
Wrong
Thank
for
you.
2 weeks. You're welcome. Hey, I took the target off my back, and it's now on your forehead. Have fun with that. But anyway, so it worked. They show themselves to be what they are. Hackers trying to disrupt the American people from being told what's happening in the outside world. The truth of things. So this being the case, I want to apologize for not bringing the quality that you demand out of me and expect out of me. And I am sorry, but I had to do this. I needed to prove something. And now you can take what I've just said, you can take it and figure out if I'm being paranoid or if I'm actually have reason to do what I did. But just take the evidence into consideration and think about it. Here's something else. Dumbass of the week. Dun, 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 dun. We need a music for dumbass of the week. I don't know, maybe like yes, a fart sound or something. I don't know. But the dumbass of the week goes to Amorosa Manigault. Not because she wrote the book, but she took a recording device, for two reasons. She took a recording device into a secure area, a skiff. If this would have happened to me or anybody else in the intelligence agencies, they would have been escorted out of the building in handcuffs and detained. That's reason number one. Reason number two, I have never seen anybody so muddle-brained contradict themselves not once, not twice, but three times on the same subject. President Trump is not a racist. I respect him. He's my mentor. Well, you know, everybody has a little bit of racist in them. Well, no, I heard from somebody who heard from somebody who heard from somebody else that they heard President Trump use the N-word. No, I heard him say the N-word. Well, which one is it, bitch? Give me a break. You are a dumbass. Good God.
Yes, he did go.
Did you hear it? Did you not hear it? I mean, yeah. Seriously.
She did go through all those stages.
I swear to God, I'm sorry I said the B word. I'm sorry I said bitch. But guess what? I'm sorry. She is. I mean, if you don't believe me, tell you what. Right now, America, go to your laptop, go to YouTube, type in Amorosa versus Wendy Williams.
That
tell me
that
she ain't a bitch.
That was funny. I'm sorry, but it was funny. I mean, and to do that to Wendy Williams of all people. I mean, yeah, I know she's a huge leftist, but come on, it's Wendy Williams for crying out loud. That woman doesn't got a mean bone in her body.
Oh, so you saw the video?
Yeah. In any case, that was a wonderful and beautifully arousing and informative report, Agent. Thank you, as always. And be sure to be safe out there. And now I'm going to have to take precautions now. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. And being safe is boring. Enjoy the excitement of life. Have a great one, folks. God bless.
See you soon. We'll be back.
You're listening to The Rod Eccles Show. Let truth be told.
See that cute little dog in the pet store window? Chances are it came from a puppy mill. A breeding facility that forces caged, neglected, and often sick dogs to churn out puppy after puppy to be sold for profit. Meanwhile, millions of wonderful, healthy pets end up in animal shelters. This leads to the killing of more than 9,000 by the end of...